Thank you very much. I want to thank your church for having me here. I've been out in the community over the last year or so making this presentation to church groups and community groups and frankly, whomever will have me. It's an important message, but I'd like to put a disclaimer out there, and that is some of the stuff I'm going to be presenting to you today is national message coming from a place called the Interagency Council on Homelessness in the federal government. It's trying to be applied locally, and there are a lot of moving parts. I'm by no means an expert. However, the city of Ventura, for whom I work, has essentially bestowed me with the opportunity to come and share the message in our community. The idea over the next couple of years is for our community to begin to have a dialogue about a problem that's been in our community for many, many, many years. We're talking 30s and 40s of years. But we can't have that dialogue unless we have a common understanding of the problem and we have a common understanding of the language, how we describe the problem. So as Dave mentioned, I am a manager with the City of Ventura's Community Services Department. I'm the Social Services Division Manager. Among other things, I do the volunteer programs and I do senior services, and I also manage the lifeguard contract on the beaches. And I work with our homeless population. I actually started working for the City of Ventura in June of 1987 and left for 5 years in between, but I've been around the city for quite a while. For those of you who've been in our community a long time, you may remember my grandfather. My grandfather's name was Richard C. Heaton, and he was a judge in this community in the 50s and 60s. So we've been around here for quite a while. We all live here because of some of these photos that are going to show up. This is our new community park, and there are some scenes from our harbor and a nice view of our community from Grant Park, and a place that I might be this evening on a surfboard if I wasn't having the opportunity to speak with you folks. But there are other places in our community that, if I can get this thing to work, I can show you those. And clearly, Ventura is not a paradise for everybody. I spend a lot of time walking around our community and seeing the homeless folks. And these are a series of photos that I've taken over the last few years. This is the Ventura River, and in the background what you see a police officer looking through a safe. It's about this big. There are some crazy things in your rivers, and one of them is a homeless camp with big safes. And by the way, there are probably about 50 of these homeless camps. Her name is Crystal. She lives in River Haven now. When we found that tent, what we found was a lot of methamphetamine and heroin use. Figueroa Plaza, just within the last 6 weeks. Mission Park. The face of homelessness in our community. True or false? Homelessness is the single male on Main Street or in Mission Park. There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. But 8 out of 10 homeless people in your community are families, not the homeless male. That's the stereotype, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So that means that you've never seen most of the homeless people in your community. That's true. People that are living in their vehicles out in the industrial area, people that are living down in the river bottoms, families that are living on couches or in garages. You don't get to see those folks very often, and it's not like they advertise that they're homeless, saying, hey, look at me, I'm a homeless person. So they're people that are blending into our community. Poverty is the root cause of most homelessness. That's absolutely true. 25,000 people in your community, in our community, live in households that make less than $25,000 a year. They are constantly at risk of cycling into homelessness. They're the 8 out of 10. Not the 2 out of 10 that are those chronically homeless individuals. There are plenty of services and beds in our city and our county to solve homelessness. That is absolutely false. Absolutely false. I'll get to some numbers in a little while. Homeless people should just get jobs. You know, if they weren't just drinking away their day and hanging out and they weren't so lazy, we wouldn't have this problem. 70% of the chronically homeless individual, which are that 2 out of 10, 70% of those people will never work again. They're incapable of working again. Last year in January, we did a homeless count in the city of Ventura and throughout the county. These are some numbers that we found. We counted people in street on the street. We counted them in shelters. We counted them in river bottoms from Moore Park to Thousand Oaks to the city of Ventura. And what we found was that there were 1,961 people who were homeless, which we assume is a very, very low number. A very low number. We think that there's more like 5,000 to 8,000 homeless people on any given day in the county of Ventura, based on national data, percentage of population versus percentage of homeless people. And why is it so low? Well, I may not know that I'm homeless, because there are some clinical definitions that are used by the Housing and Urban Development Department in the federal government. And even if I do know I'm homeless, I may not say that I am. A lot of people, when we asked them to participate in the survey, said, I'm cool, thanks, no worries. Don't want to participate. City of Ventura, we had 588 homeless people. City of Oxnard, 675 out of a total of 1,961. So two-thirds of the homeless people are in the West County. How come? Some reasons. There are all kinds of explanations. I'll tell you what mine is. I mentioned earlier, I don't know everything about this, but I've learned a lot over the last 8 or 10 years. There are two institutions in our community and on our west end of Ventura County that contribute to the number of homeless people that we have here. Ventura County Medical Center, the county hospital. Anybody guess the second one? Ventura County Jail. Those institutions work with and serve, if you want to use that word for the jail, indigent folks in our community. And when they get out of those places, they're then served by services that these folks need. There has been an assessment, but it's anecdotal at this point because we haven't finished doing all the data research. But there's been an assessment that there's an over-concentration of services provided by the Human Services Agency and Ventura County Behavioral Health in the West County, which contributes to people being spit out of those agencies, out of those institutions, the jails and the county hospital. And then they stay in this area because that's where they get their services. They lose their groundedness in the community that they've come here from, and therefore they end up staying here. There's a gentleman named Ken Rose, who lives in the Ventura Inn, and about 15 years ago, Ken had a mental health episode in Simi Valley. He ended up at the Ventura County Medical Center through the Behavioral Health Department on Hillmont. And for the last 15 years, Ken has lived here. He never moved back to Simi Valley. And you know what? I hear that story a lot. 175,000 people living in Oxnard, 675 homeless people. 125,000 people living in Simi Valley, 163 homeless people. 125,000 people living in Thousand Oaks, 81 homeless people. 60,000 people in Camarillo? About that row right there, 10 homeless people. Socioeconomically, people live in the West County when they have a less income. That's just our county grew west to east. And traditionally, a lot of people have lived in the Ventura River. So the ratios are correct that we have the number of people in each community is about correct. We feel good about the ratios, but we feel like the numbers are very low. Next year in January, that same week, we're going to do another count. And even though we've been working really hard to help and assist homeless people to either remain in their home or to be rehoused, we expect that there will be a huge spike because we think we're going to be better at counting. But we also know that the economy has gone into the tank over the last year. And we really feel like all those foreclosures that you're reading about and all that problem with the financial industry is going to have a sobering effect on our ability to reduce those numbers because, of course, it's a 10-year strategy to end homelessness. There's a debate. I don't know if there's anybody here who's a county government employee, but there's a debate. And the debate is the county put the services here and therefore the people are here. And that's what the city government says. And the county government says, well, we only put the services where they're going to be accessed most easily. So we're constantly having that sort of discussion with them. And we want to work together because we all want to solve the problem. But for those of us who have been around Ventura for a long time, we know that there's, down on our downtown west side area, there seems to be an over-concentration of services. I mentioned chronically homeless individuals earlier, and then I didn't mention the word episodically homeless. So 2 in 10, chronically homeless. 8 in 10, episodically homeless. What's a chronically homeless individual? Chronically homeless individuals are generally unaccompanied males. It says individuals, but it's generally males. They're homeless for more than a year or multiple times over a several-year period. They're disabled by addiction, mental illness, chronic physical illness, disability, or developmental disability, frequent histories of hospitalization, and average age in their early 40s. How come they're not older? Because they die on the streets. The average age of a homeless person in the streets is not 65. Usually, people who are chronically homeless, and you can watch the newspapers as those things are sort of shared in our community, they die between age 40 and 52. Because it's hard living outside, as you might imagine. What does episodically homeless mean? 20 to 25,000 individuals living in households that make $25,000 or less. It's a cycle of homelessness. Episodically homeless individuals are usually homeless for 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, and then they get back on their feet. But they've become homeless because they've had to make a financial decision that most of us don't have to make. My daughter broke her arm skateboarding. I don't have insurance. I have to pay the rent or set her arm. I have a vehicle whose axle went out. I have to fix the vehicle so that I can get to work, but I have to pay the rent too. They're making financial decisions. So it's what we call the endless cycle of episodic homelessness. And so somebody who was episodically homeless got housed today, but somebody who had to make the decision about the cast on the arm went homeless today. There's a lot of opportunity within episodic homelessness to end or change that cycle. That's where the opportunity is. Chronically homeless individuals are very complicated people. Very complicated people. Episodically homeless people could be sitting in this room right now. People that have poverty is the root cause of episodic homelessness. Ventura River, Mission Park, Mission Park, Downtown Mini Park, the little green area on Main Street. Bank of Books, I am downtown a lot. I work in City Hall, so, I mean, who hasn't been panhandled by this gentleman? I mean, on the Ventura River Trail, coming out of the river. Her name is Brittany. Her dog's name is Spit. She's working now at, the place has escaped me, the place that makes the empanadas on the corner of California and Maine. Anybody? She's got a job. She's working. Episodically homeless individuals, people who are living in that car. For 30 years, the federal government, the state government, the county government, and municipal government in the faith-based community, you guys are part of this, have contributed to an endless cycle of homeless management. Note that the first slide I had said ending homelessness in 10 years, not managing and maintaining homelessness so that people can stay homeless. That's the change in the diagram. That's the change in how we go about dealing with this. It used to be this, and it still is this today. Managing people's homelessness. An endless cycle of day services, drug and alcohol abuse, jail time, ambulance fees, hospital stays, court appearances. That's what chronically homeless people are doing all day. They're involved in one of those things. What are day services? Day services. And we're always going to need day services. So I'm going to name some organizations that do a great job in our community. But I want to give you an idea what day services are. If I'm a chronically homeless individual, I can go to Project Understanding every morning and get a shower. I can go to Catholic Charities, who leases some space to family, and I can eat lunch on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and breakfast on Saturday and Sunday. I can get a sweatshirt while I'm at Catholic Charities if the one I'm wearing is no longer working, or socks. I can go to Pacific Clinics on the corner of Main Street and Ventura Avenue and have some sort of a peer interaction with somebody as I try to work with my drug and alcohol problem. What you should read on this screen is reactive services. Reactive services. I have trouble. I am drunk in the park. Somebody comes and reacts to my state. The first person to come out would be Vern Allstott. Because the paramedic. He's the first guy to come out. Right? So they call the paramedics. 911, there's somebody lying in the park with a backpack, and he hasn't moved for a week and a half. So Vern gets in his truck with his group, and he goes out and sees what's going on. Police are on the way also. Somebody has to make an assessment at that point of what to do with this individual. You know what the choices are in our community? Jail or hospital. That's it. That's it. Those are the choices in our community today. Jail or hospital. Really expensive, reactive ways of dealing with chronically homeless individuals. Expensive, reactive. 30 years. For 30 years, the federal government, the state government, the county government have putting more and more and more money into homeless services. More and more money, and there's a lot less homeless people, right? No. More money in the system that doesn't work. Chronically homeless people consume disproportionate amount of resources. Emergency medical services, primary health care, behavioral health care, justice system, all of these things, reactive services for people that are chronically homeless, 70% of whom will never work again. 70% are never going to work again. So unless we change the model, they are always going to cost us in these places. Always. Unless we as a community decide that we don't want to serve them anymore. Well, guess what? That's not going to happen. The county, it's mandatory to serve these folks. It's mandatory if somebody goes into the Ventura County Medical Center that those folks receive these services. Mandatory. We're doing a study here locally, but we know what we're going to find. We know what we're going to find because lots of other places have done these studies. Look at the numbers. Per person. Look at that number. We estimate we have 125 chronically homeless individuals in the city of Ventura alone. Do the math. Who's got a BlackBerry? We're talking about incredible amounts of money in reactive services. And we think the numbers are really low. For 30 years, before all this data started coming up, you would have thought that the moral reality of having these people in our community would have been enough for the community together, the city government, the faith-based community, the county government, to come together and say, you know, we just shouldn't have this. This is not right. We should help these folks. But you know what? 35 years of that moral stuff flying around, and nobody did anything about it. So here we are, reactively spending $135,000 per person, and you know what? They're still chronically homeless at the end of the day. They get spit out back onto the streets. $135,000 a year, not changing anybody's life. Boring slide. Should have gotten rid of it. Last February, a guy named Malcolm Gladwell, who is an incredible writer, wrote The Tipping Point and a couple of other really great, really amazing books. Google him. But he wrote an article for The New Yorker called Million Dollar Murray Bar. This officer, Patrick O'Brien, and his partner met Murray on the streets of Reno and essentially realized over time that they just kept dealing with Murray on the same corner. It was a different bottle of vodka. It was a different can of beer. But it was the same Murray. And Murray was, by all accounts, a very likable guy. An incredibly well-written article in The New Yorker. It was late February of last year. They tracked him for 10 years. They figured out that they spent this amount of money on Murray. Murray died on the same street corner. And Washoe County, Nevada, spent $1 million on him. $1 million. That's why he's Million Dollar Murray. And he died 10 years after Mr. O'Brien, Officer O'Brien, met him on the same street corner. And you know what? That's happening all across America. That's happening all across the state of California. It's happening all across Ventura County, and it's happening here. The state of California has approximately 220-ish thousand homeless people, the state of California. The next closest state, my home state, the state of New York, 65,000 homeless people. We are spending an incredible amount of money on homeless people in the state of California, and every year we're cutting money in schools. So it's time for a change. We call it housing first. Used to be maintenance and management. Taking all that money into maintenance and management. Enabling homeless people to feel better while they're out on the streets being homeless. But they feel better because, you know, they got good socks and they're getting good treatment. And, you know, they get to go to jail occasionally and get a haircut. And they always get a nice bed when they go. But we weren't changing any lives. And more important, the quality of life in your community continued to erode. Because let's be honest. The quality of life in your community, one of the things that impacts that is the inability to go downtown to go to the movie theater without running and stepping over people who are chronically homeless on your streets. I have a weird job. I want you to look at the screen. There are four corners to the screen. Keith said there was a pointer. Up in this corner? Keith does a great job with sitting. That's because he got me this. Up in this corner? Homeless people. Clients. Homeless people. Right there. Over here? Down here? Service providers. Service providers. Project Understanding. Catholic Charity. Salvation Army. Turning Point Foundation. Family to Family. County of Ventura, Human Services Agency. County of Ventura, Behavioral Health. The Healthcare Agency. Service providers. People who provide services to clients. Up in that corner, the only tool municipal government has to deal with homeless people. Police officers. It's the only tool we have. Somebody's homeless. Somebody calls 911, somebody says they're being a problem. The only tool we have is to send out a police officer. Down here, the quality of life in your community. Hi, Peter. My name is Bill, and I live in Sherman Oaks, and I came up and I stayed at the Clock Tower Inn last weekend. And oh my God, has your community changed. We couldn't go anywhere downtown without getting panhandled. And when we were walking back from the movies at 11:30, we were threatened. If we didn't give money. How many of those phone calls do I get a week? Not a year, not a month, a week. Visitors, residents, merchants, all live down there. And 106,000 people live in our community who aren't homeless versus 588 or so who are. So I live right here in the middle. I'm constantly explaining this group side to this group to PD. How come PD's cracking down on us? How come they're cracking down on us? We can't camp in public anymore. How come PD keeps cracking down on the clients? Our clients are coming to us and telling us PD's cracking down. You got so many homeless people, it's not even fun to come to your community anymore. I don't go downtown. Why would I go downtown? I'm like, what are the answers? The answers are moving away from management and maintenance and moving toward housing first approach. We're taking it to the streets. The city of Ventura progressively this past year hired a gentleman named Ken Belden. For the first time in our county's history, a municipal government hired a caseworker, a manager. His job comes out of the 10-year strategy to end homelessness, recommendation number 8, called Mainstream Resources. And essentially, Ken's job, working directly for me, and what the heck do I know about case managing chronically homeless individuals? But you know what? The city of Ventura was tired. We were tired. We were weary. Because forever, ever since I worked here, and long before that, we delegated the problem of homelessness in our community to county government. We had the problem in our community. And we all used to say to each other up there in the ivory tower up in City Hall, yeah, the county's not doing their job. That's why we got all this homelessness down there. The county's not doing their job. Oh, yeah, it's in our borders. And our police department goes down and deals with them all the time. But as soon as the county cleans it up, it'll be cool. I finally, my assistant chief Ken Corney and I finally convinced the city council to give us some money. And we hired our own case manager. And he's going after what we call mainstream resources, recommendation number 8 in the 10-year strategy, of which there are 22. Recommendation number 8 says, Ken, your job is to take Bob, the homeless guy, and get him the resources that he's already eligible for. General relief, Social Security, Veterans Resources, ACE, which is a county health care plan, food stamps. They're eligible for them, but you know how hard it is to go from Market Street to Hillmont to the corner of Main Street and Ventura Avenue to get all those things and to keep all the paperwork. And if you're chronically homeless, you probably got a little bit of stuff going on. And so you're just like, you know what? Forget it. I'm not going to do it. So what does Ken do all day? Ken goes down to the park and he takes chronically homeless individuals and he puts them in the car that we got him and he drives them around all those places for the purpose of reducing that $135,000 a year one person at a time. One person at a time. Look at there. Housing first. What is housing first? I'm going to turn my back on you. I apologize. Housing for homeless people happens on what we call a continuum of care. A continuum of care. You come out of the river bottom tonight and you need somewhere to stay. The first stop is called an emergency shelter. An emergency shelter. How many emergency shelter beds do we have in the city of Ventura? 10. So we can house all the people in Camarillo. Sweet. 10. And they're always filled. They're always filled. 10 beds. But they're specifically for folks who have mental illness. And they're located on Thompson Boulevard in the Turning Point Foundation. For 4 months a year, the city of Ventura participates in an emergency shelter program with the city of Oxnard. And what we do is we rotate an emergency shelter program from the Armory in Ventura to the Armory in Oxnard to the Armory in Ventura. This year it was in Oxnard. It's at 351 South K Street. In Ventura, it's over on Arundel. And we spend a lot of money, to the tune of $350,000, for a four-month program in which people are allowed to show up at 6 p.m. and get kicked out at 5 a.m. And they get a little meal, and they get a shower, and then they're back out on the streets. And we are not helping them one bit. We're managing and maintaining. So you come out of the river bottom today, you get to an emergency shelter. 10 beds, so that means we don't have an emergency shelter. So when I was saying that when the cops go out and they get the guy out of Mission Park, there is no place to take them. The emergency shelter would be that place. We don't have one. The next stop on the continuum of care is called transitional housing. Transitional housing, a place where someone who has proven their mettle in an emergency shelter, meaning that over about a 90-day period, they've sobered up a little bit, they're working a program, they might try to get some vocational training, they're just sort of getting their act together, they move into what we call transitional housing. They live there for 9 months to 2 years, and that's where they get stability. You talk to homeless people that don't want to be homeless, what they'll always tell you is, if I could just get stable, I could find some self-sufficiency. If I could just get stable. So these places are intended for stability. Transitional housing, 9 months to 2 years. Working a program, dealing with your addiction, dealing with vocational or educational training, money management skills, trying to get all your paperwork back in order. The next stop is something called permanent supportive housing. Permanent supportive housing. Permanent supportive. Guess where the 70% of chronically homeless individuals live for the rest of their lives? In a place called permanent supportive housing. They have case managers on site. They assist them through their day-to-day activities, make sure they get their medication. They may or may not require you to be sober. 1811 East Lake, Seattle, Washington. We call them wet houses, bunks for drunks. How does that feel morally? Don't like it? It costs this much money per person per year. So if your moral compass is feeling a little funny right now, take a look at the alternative. $13,000, $25,000 versus up to $150,000 a year per person. Hey, Murray, grab your vodka bottle. Follow me. I got a place that you can stay. And it's going to cost our community significantly less to have you in our community, because we know you're not going anywhere, than if you stayed out on the streets and we were reacting to every one of your episodes. Wow, about that. That's some pretty serious change of thought right there. The last stop on the continuum of care is affordable housing. The Housing and Urban Development Department, which runs housing programs for our country, has all kinds of different definitions of affordable housing. They have affordable housing, and then going down they have very affordable housing, and then they have extremely affordable housing. In the city of Ventura, affordable housing is considered $362,000 or less. Something like that. I'm close. Something like that. That's affordable. It's affordable. What can you buy for $362,000? The list is very small. Very affordable, extremely affordable. The last stop on the continuum of care is not affordable housing. It's extremely affordable housing. Close your eyes and think of your neighborhood. What I'm telling you is that in those four categories, the 10-year strategy identifies 855 beds spread out in those four categories. And emergency shelter beds, transitional living beds, permanent supportive housing beds, and extremely affordable housing beds. And they're going to be in your neighborhood, and your neighborhood, and your neighborhood. They're going to be spread out in our community. The reason I'm here today is because this message has to get out to our community. I'm not comfortable with giving people who are drunk someplace to live. Okay? Then we're going to keep taking money from schools, and we're going to keep reactively treating people who are always going to be downtown when you go there. Well, that's a great solution. Yeah, but Peter, what you're talking about, if you're putting people in housing and you don't have any expectation that they're going to change their behavior, that's just warehousing. Yeah. Yeah, it is. Uh-huh. I don't know what to say. It is. The 10-year strategy to end homelessness. 100 people or so participated. We came up with 22 recommendations. One of 300 plans nationwide. One of 300 plans nationwide. Why do I say that? That's my prompt to remind myself to say, if we solve homelessness in the city of Ventura, everybody's not coming here. Y'all are going to go home and you're going to tell everybody they're going to solve it here, and they watch. Everybody's going to come here. You know, that's the biggest myth. That is such a myth. When you do homeless surveys, when you ask people where they're from, they say they're from Ventura County. They're still here. Yeah, there is a percentage of people that are flowing through. And if Vern was here, he'd tell me I was wrong. And if the cops were here, they would tell me I was wrong. But the reality is those people are jaded because they got people thrown up in the back of their trucks all the time. And I don't blame them for being jaded. But the reality is we have data that tells us. We have data that tells us that most of the homeless people in your community grew up and lived in your community. So if we solve it here, it's not like everybody's going to come here. Ventura Solutions. The Social Services Task Force meets the fourth Wednesday of every month at Catholic Charities from 3 to 5, and it's a big group of people, of which Dave is one of them, and we get together, and it's faith-based people, it's social service-based people, it's clients, residents, it's merchants, it's people like me, municipal government. It's a big bureaucratic thing, and it's a wonderful experience. We all network, and we tell each other what we're doing, and it's the way we're going to try and solve this. There are three subcommittees to that. Housing Solutions, dealing with the 855 units that we talked about. Prevention Solutions, prevention. I'm going to get back to prevention. I'm going to talk to you about it. And I know I'm running out of time, so I'm going to talk really fast as if I don't already. And then Education Solutions. That's what I'm doing here. We all have to be speaking the same language. We all have to understand this the same way. Otherwise, every time we come together for a community meeting, all those stereotypes will come into play and we'll never get anything done because everybody will be on the different page. So whoever, I want you to think about groups that you're part of and think about whether or not they want to endure me and listen to this, because everybody needs to hear this. And actually, they could just go watch it on the website, because I have this whole thing on the website. So Education Solutions, that's what I'm doing today. The fourth subcommittee, which has just come into play recently, is called Faith-Based Leadership. We need all the faith community doing the same thing. Why? Because the faith-based organizations, along with city, county, state, and federal government, are the biggest offenders in contributing to maintenance and management. I'm going to get back to that. I call it misguided charitable giving. Charitable giving that makes you feel good, but doesn't help end homelessness. It manages and maintains homelessness. What can you do that doesn't cost money to help? Join and participate in the Social Service Task Force. Educate yourself and then your friends. Champion the moral message. I gave you economic data, but the reality is maybe we can touch some people with the moral message. Volunteer in your community. Volunteer to help. Call me. Ask me how. I can help. Reduce or eliminate NIMBYism. Not in my backyard. What I'm telling you is 855 units going to be spread out all over the place. And the best thing you can do is you can educate yourself about what a well-run program looks like, so that when it comes to your neighborhood, you don't automatically say no. What you say is, I'm going to have an open mind, I'm going to consider this, but I'm going to understand what a well-run program looks like. And if it's well-run, and it has nice landscaping out front, then maybe it won't be so bad in our community, in my neighborhood. I know everybody hates that. Create awareness via compassion. Honor Homeless Memorial Day, December 21st. Don't support panhandling. Panhandling. I got to get off on my panhandling rant. Ready? Here I go. Panhandlers make between $25 and $55 a day. Excuse me. $25 and $55 an hour. Excuse me, $25 and $55 an hour. If you're a lousy panhandler, you're making $15 to $25 an hour. You mix in the holiday season, you mix in a dog, and you mix in a child, and you're making $55 an hour. And you know what? I'm going to turn my back, but if anybody's ever given money to a panhandler, raise your hand. And I'm telling you right now, you are not contributing to a college fund. You are contributing to an addiction. And if I had Project Understanding, Turning Point, Catholic Charities, Salvation Army standing up here with me, every one of them would say, give us your money. Don't give it directly to a panhandler. A panhandler is literally going to walk away and support his addiction. It manages and maintains. You think that we have a lot of panhandlers near Target, near Trader Joe's, and downtown because it's a nice place to sit all day and maybe they'll get some money? They're there because they have proven to themselves that there will be money coming in. Do not support panhandling. If you absolutely can't walk past somebody who's indigent, give them an apple. Give them a granola bar. Keep granola bars in your purse. Go to the grocery store and buy a gift certificate that cannot be redeemed for tobacco or alcohol. If you find it in your heart that you need to help, don't give people money. Kind of makes me crazy. Therefore, you should be redirecting your charitable giving toward ending homelessness. Donate to the Homeless Prevention Fund. The Homeless Prevention Fund is something in the that's very unique that the Social Services Task Force put together. What we found out is that an episodically homeless person who falls into homelessness, it costs the community between $10,000 and $15,000 in services and activity and money, first and last rent, to get them back into housing. Between $10,000 and $15,000 to get them back into housing. We have a homeless prevention fund that people can apply for to get them past the decision between the cast and the rent. You know how much we've given on average to keep people from becoming homeless? We've had 21 people use the fund in 6 months. $762 per episode to avoid homelessness. $762. Give your money to the homeless prevention fund because that 80% cycle, we can stop that cycle and we can dramatically reduce homelessness. Because most of homelessness is not the chronically homeless individual who's in Mission Park, Plaza Park, downtown Mini Park, on the promenade, out in the river bottom. Most of homelessness is poverty. People need assistance to get past that bump. And you know what? People are proud. People aren't expecting to be in this situation. People don't know how to ask for help. And that's why it's important to get these messages out. Raise funds to help move people off the street. Plan to give to agencies that end homelessness. Adopt a family. Close your eyes, think of 15 of your best friends, and decide that between your 15 best friends and you, you're going to come and ask Peter Brown to help you find a family that's poor, and you're going to decide on a circle of assistance, and every month you guys come up with $200 because you know that that's the structural deficit in a poverty-ridden family between paying their rent, buying food, paying for gas, getting insurance. You've decided that you're going to do that, and that is just going to be your ongoing contribution. I love that, by the way. Share your home. I gave this speech at Missionary Church. Guy came up to me afterwards. He said, for the last year and a half, I've had a family, a father, a mother died. The father fell into some issues. They've been living in their home. He's sharing a small home with a father and three children. So it happens in your community. It doesn't sound that crazy. Do you own any apartments? Anybody here own apartments? Don't get market rent. Don't get market rent. Choose not to. Make that your charitable giving. You, anybody here have small business? Create entry-level job opportunities for your episodically homeless individuals. I'm not asking you to hire the guy out of Mission Park. I'm asking for you to get in touch with case managers through all of these local agencies who know the people who are in poverty and who need assistance. I'm losing my job next month, case manager. I don't know what to do. Take a chance on humanity. All charitable giving related to the homelessness contributes to ending the problem. Nope. Absolutely not. No. When you go down, I can't go away without giving this example because to me it's just so powerful. You go downtown, you give money to somebody who's in front of Jonathan's, that restaurant near Figueroa Plaza there, near across from the Mission. Jason Collis probably hates when I say this, but Jason Collis, you can't even imagine the rent that guy pays. $13,000 a month. And he's got homeless people hanging out. He cannot serve people on a patio because Figueroa Plaza is overrun, and so is Mission Park. So he can't fill those tables to make his money. So when you go downtown, I'm not accusing you, but when people go downtown and they give money to panhandlers who then use it to feed their addiction to hang out in Mission Park and Plaza Park, you're impacting the merchants. You're impacting the quality of life. But here, let me turn it around on you. I'd love to just grab a panhandler who lives in Ondolando. Excuse me. I'd like to give somebody who's giving money to a panhandler who lives in Ondolando, and I would like to just get their address, and then I'd just like to close all of downtown one day, and I'd like to have all the merchants go up and bring a homeless person with them and have them sit on that person's front lawn and have them just give them money and having so they can feel the pain of having homelessness on their front doorstep. Because that's what's happening. You go talk to the Merchants Association, downtownventura.org. I go to every meeting. Can you imagine? And it's because nice people are doing drive-by, walk-by, I'm going to feel better about myself, charitable giving, and it's mismanaged. It's misdirected. Give money to organizations that end homelessness. This is the Homeless Prevention Fund. It's on your website. They've downloaded it on your website. Give money to the Homeless Prevention Fund. That's the way it's going to work. Everybody has a place in ending homelessness. So you can find yourself, you have multiple, you're going to be on multiple lists within this next couple of slides. So all these organizations I would come and talk to. Please help eliminate and reduce stigmas. Please be an informed charitable giver. Please spread the word. Everyone has a place. Thanks for your time tonight.
Peter wanted to allow some time for any questions that you might have, so this is the moment. So just offer your questions to him.
The Homeless Prevention Fund.
What kind of services that are utilized so that they're not meeting that access?
Right. You're only eligible... People, there are multiple funds to assist people in our community, and the Homeless Prevention Fund is only one of them. The Homeless Prevention Fund is a very, very targeted fund and is only available for folks who can prove that they have sustainable resources and that this is just a one-time event. So they have to have a job. They have to be able to come in and show us X amount of months of sustainability, show us the crisis, convince us it's a one-time thing, and that after the crisis is over, they'll continue to have those resources in order to sustain their lifestyle. They're only eligible to use it one time a year. Families are only eligible to use it one time a year. And we're using the existing case managers at Project Understanding, Catholic Charities, and Salvation Army, people who are used to working with the population, in order to make sure that somebody using the Homeless Prevention Fund is a good investment, is a good risk. Because let's not be fooling ourselves. Chronically homeless individuals know how to use the system. 95% of the chronically homeless individuals know exactly where they can get a meal, exactly where they can get a sweatshirt, exactly where they can get a shower, exactly. They know the systems. They know where the pockets of money are. They know who the soft touches are. They know exactly where to sit to get their money for panhandling. They would not be eligible for this. What's nice about having the case managers do the Homeless Prevention Fund is that the case managers have other funds at their disposal. They have utility assistance, for example, that comes out of a different fund. The Homeless Prevention Fund is a very targeted thing that has been working wonders. We follow up with the people who use the Homeless Prevention Fund. We follow up with them 3 months, 6 months, and a year. So far, nobody who has used the Homeless Prevention Fund has fallen into homelessness. It has worked so far. Scott Alexander, I'm not a country guy, K-Hey. Scott Alexander is a DJ on K-Hey. He recently sent me an interesting proposal that is modeled after that. And what it is exactly what I was talking about earlier about the grocery stores. Having the grocery stores participate in being able to purchase some sort of a gift certificate is not eligible to be utilized for anything but foodstuffs, with a percentage of it going back to organizations that end homelessness. We're going to test the commitment of grocery stores to our community by going and beginning to have some of those conversations. Well, there is. It's a very active black market in the homeless world, and you know, drugs are a big part of it. I'm on the fence with. I mentioned that if you absolutely had to give somebody something, that you should give them food, but you should know that I'm also the guy who has sat down with 7 or 8 different faith-based organizations and required them, mandated that they stop doing illegal feedings in our parks. I usually bring an assistant chief of police with me, and I ask the organization how that serves their mission, how that's helping someone end their homelessness, and what part of the larger service provision network are they tapping into in order to be part of the solution. And they don't really have answers to any of those questions. That being said, a lot of people have a tough time walking past. I mean, hey, you know, I was a sociology major at UCSB. I'm as liberal as they get. And I mean, I can understand not wanting to walk by. So if you absolutely have to do something, I'd rather you do that than giving people money. Some of them are. First of all, I normally say this, and I had to run hustle through this because I get going on myself, but not all homeless people are panhandlers, and not all panhandlers are homeless people. Not all homeless panhandlers are chronically homeless. I have a perfect example. There's an African-American gentleman who panhandles in front of the Earl Stanley Garter building, in front of that window there. He drives a Mercedes. He plays the bongos. And we know that. He comes down and he actually just makes money.
In terms of the housing scattered throughout the community for them, are these existing houses they're going to build places? And how big does a house have to be to house? Are we talking about a family? They have to have a group of boys, a group of girls.
Yeah. You know what? Housing will come in every shape and every size, everything you can think of. Ideally, somebody comes forward and wants to build a 50-unit apartment complex, but would that be ideal if it was next to your house or next to your house? I mean, ideally for solving the problem. You know, the reality is in a place like Ventura County where housing and land is so darn expensive, the reality is our housing solutions are redeveloping or houses or buildings that are not currently being used for it, not building new ones. We'll partner with organizations like Habitat for Humanity to refurbish. But remember that Habitat for Humanity has only recently gotten into the refurbishment business. Habitat for Humanity's built an organization on a plot of land and a single family home. Well, Ventura County, the new director, realizes that just doesn't make a lot of sense. Density is necessary. So my answer is that there will be some concentration, and there will be some that it's very scattered. The People's Self-Help of Santa Barbara, which is a nonprofit development organization that also runs supportive housing units, has recently purchased the El Patio Motel down on Palm. It's behind the old Greyhound station. It's a beautiful little 1930s hotel. And they've recently purchased it. And what they're going to have in there is we call them SROs, single room occupancies, and they'll have a community kitchen, and they'll have somebody who will live on site, and there'll be about 32 people living there, in single rooms, and they can double up, so there might be some more. And it's essentially extremely low cost housing, for some people who might have been formerly homeless, or some people that are just working poor. Tell all your friends.
Was this survey done east of Wells Road, Santa Clara Valley, Santa Paula, Belmore?
Yes, I have those numbers too. I just don't put them up there. The reality is that Santa Paula, per capita, Santa Paula had a high amount of homeless people. Fillmore had a very low number. Interestingly enough, only one city in Ventura County had a higher per capita homeless ratio than the city of Ventura. Anybody? Ojai. Less numbers, but in ratio to their population, they had higher. City of Ventura was next. City of Oxnard was next. City of Santa Paula was fourth. Guess what was last? Yeah, that would be that 60,000 in Camarillo, 10 for 10. Just in closing, the city of Ventura is now participating in an effort to distribute those 855 units countywide. Are you with me? We got 855 units we've located along the continuum of care, and that's countywide. You walk into a meeting with the city managers of Thousand Oaks and Camarillo and Simi Valley, and guess what they say? We should distribute those numbers on the basis of where people were counted. That's the way. City of Ventura, City of Oxnard walks in, and we say, we should distribute those numbers on the basis of where population is, not homeless population. So we got some headbanging to do. It's going to be, you know, I can tell you that Jerry Bankston and Scott Mitnick in Thousand Oaks are going to, I can tell you that they walked into the first meeting and said, we'll take care of ours. So, I mean, this is a very political issue. And the savings associated with going from a reactive model to a proactive model, so reactive, management and maintenance, $150,000 a year per person, to housing first, proactive, $13,000 to $25,000 per person, the savings is where? County government. County government. Don't fool yourself. The saving is in two places, three places. Healthcare agency, emergency room visits, ambulance. You guys, somebody pays for that. When you don't have insurance, it's your tax dollars because they're mandated to provide those services. Okay, so that's one. Two, sheriff's department. If you don't have to bring people to jail, you don't have to pay for them to be there overnight. Two choices, hospital or jail. Third, the judicial system. That's a state cost. Used to be a county cost, now a state cost. You can't imagine how mucked up the whole judicial thing is when you've got three warrants out for your arrest, you've got a drunk in public, you've got all these, and you now can't get a driver's license. The whole thing, the costs associated with working people through the judicial system is staggering. And that's where those savings are. So when you think about it, if I live in a house, if I'm a social worker and I'm living in a permanent supportive housing unit, I'm living there on site as the resident manager, and I have 12 people under my care, what am I doing all day? I'm making sure Bob is taking his Ritalin and Joe is not drinking too much and Mike is getting to his medical appointments, proactive medical appointments, which are cheap, versus reactive, taking him to the hospital in the emergency room. That's what I do all day long. Man, is that, you know, I know, I get it, but that's the way it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Where do all the homeless kids in Ventura go to school? What school? What elementary school has the highest level of homeless children? Lincoln Elementary School. Tiniest elementary school we have, right downtown. They have a homeless outreach program there. Most of the kids do go to school. Most of the kids do go to school. Yeah. I tell you what's heartbreaking is you go into the winter warming shelter again, which is in one of the armories, and you see, by the way, we had nearly twice as many people use the winter warming shelter this year than we had last year. That's why we know the numbers are going to go up next January. It's heartbreaking to go into a place like that, and I'm telling you, you haven't lived until you've gone and looked at this. But 150 people into a room, and there, you know, there's a, you know, kids running around this big, you know, there's like 12 of them running around. It's staggering to see, and it's really powerful. But they do mostly go to school. I can tell you that. Thank you for your time. Think about organizations. I have stuff. These are anti-panhandling cards that are not intended to be given to someone who is panhandling, but is intended to give to you. You soft-hearted person who need to give somebody something. These are cards that say to you, don't give to the panhandler, give to the organizations that are on the back. So you can get those. And this is these are some brochures that talk about the ending homelessness, the 10-year strategy. And I also have a few business cards. I didn't grab them on Friday, but I have some here. But I'm Peter Brown at City Hall, and there's only one of me. So thank you.